Hello, this is Anna Fernat, your host of Champagne and Snark. We are on, I believe this is episode 19. Haven't missed a week. Congratulations to me. You might know me as Accidentally Sexy, dating and relationship blogger that's been in and around Chicago for about 6 years now. And now this is the thing I'm doing. In the studio today, or in the champagne room, as we call it today, I have Emily Arazu. Of Celine Neon, which is, if you haven't heard about this, you're probably not a cool person. Celine Neon is the most buzzed about band currently in Chicago. And they're really getting, I mean, like, honestly, I've told you this before, like, your visuals are my dreams. You know, they're so fun and so colorful and so pro girl. And it's just fantastic. So I'm really excited to have you here.
I am so thrilled to be here.
So we start the show out with, like I said, a little bit. I mean, Champagne and Snark is the show where we drink champagne with interesting people and talk to them about topics that no one else will. And that's accidentally, my accidental co-host, Figaro, needed to sit on my lap. So sorry for that brief intersection. It's a show where we drink champagne with interesting people and talk to them about topics that no one else will. But before we get into that part, we do want to give, you know, some acknowledgement of what brought you here, what you are known for, and that's Celine Neon and being a performer. Do you want to kind of give a little overview of what that is?
Yeah. So I have been doing Celine Neon for the past year and a half now. It's my latest project with my bandmate and BFF, Maggie Kubley.
I want to have her on separately at some point.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you absolutely should. Maggie and I have, this is our third project together. We started our first band together when we were in college, which is where we met.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to Columbia?
I went to Ball State.
Okay.
In glamorous Muncie, Indiana.
I dated a guy who went to Ball State.
Oh, wow. It is so great. They're known currently for their meth labs.
Oh,
a lot of meth labs.
Delightful.
At Muncie. Really nice. Really nice. They also had a great theater program, though, which is where Maggie and I
related?
Met. Yeah. Who could say, truly? So we started a band there, and we both ended up moving to Chicago. Maggie moved up to Chicago just kind of for music, and I was kind of like, do I go to Chicago? Do I go to LA? Do I go to New York? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I had a boyfriend who was going to Chicago, and I was like, well, of course.
I'm
just going to go follow my true love.
I stayed in Chicago for a boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
I'm single now.
Right. See how that works out?
Yeah.
Never follow boys. Ever.
No.
Ever. So yeah, Celine Neon has been on for about a year and a half. It is the result of 10 years of friendship and 10 mm-hmm. years of a really close musical relationship. You were talking about the visuals mm-hmm. earlier. That is very much sort of an expression of our like 90s mm-hmm. girl childhoods. It's like a lot of Lisa Frank sort of inspired, like very macabre Lisa Frank sort of mm-hmm. visual references. And yeah.
How would you describe your sound?
We describe ourselves as grimy girl pop.
Oh, I think Cubs just won.
Oh, yeah. They won.
Yeah. We're drinking champagne. To the Cubs.
To the sports. Yeah. So, wait, what did you ask me?
Oh, I was just asking what the sound was like.
Oh, the sound. The sound is like grimy girl pop. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. So a lot of like, we kind of compare ourselves to Charlie XCX mm-hmm. or Tove Lo. We've definitely got some 90s influences in there as well. A little bit of Janet Jackson feel. Mm-hmm. Some of the darker stuff is a little bit more akin to like early Nine Inch Nails. It's mm-hmm. all kind of like dark kind of industrial type beats. So Figaro's into
He's
it.
He's into it.
So into it. He heard Nine Inch Nails and he was like, hell yeah.
Do you know what I think he really wants, actually? This is how much he is used to the show. So when he's naughty, I give him the champagne cork to chew on.
Oh.
And he's come up on my lap. And it's, well, yes, it is time to pop it. Okay, hold on. That's parenting. So we're drinking a La Marca today, which is one of my favorite sort of like easy drinking Proseccos. It's like a decent price mark. It's better than like your, you know, Barefoots of the world. And it's delicious. So
excellent.
We start our show off with a cheers. So cheers to you, Emily. Thank you for coming in. You are a very inspiring woman, a powerful woman, and a really great performer. And I'm excited to get to know you better.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers. I had Brandon Breaux on last week. Mm-hmm. And after I gave this, like, you know, really, like, flowery, it's all about you cheers, he just kind of was like, and cheers to you. Like,
so funny. And also you.
He's like, yes, and you too.
And also you, madam.
I was like, thanks
for that. So that heartfelt sentiment. Yeah. Very heartfelt.
But it is the only guest that's tried to cheers me back, which was funny to me.
Yeah. I was not even going to try to follow that. No, you're here. I was like, okay. No,
I'm here for you today.
Great. Okay.
So the next kind of place where we take this show is, you know, it's Champagne and Snark. So we want to get into your champagne history. Do you have any good stories or memories?
Wow. You know, I really wish that I had something classier than what I'm about to say.
I can't wait.
The thing about this story that is really the worst part of this story is that it's about a night that I got super, super blammo on champagne, but like nothing notable happened that night. It was a night that it was several years ago. I was probably like 22, 23. Okay. And I showed up at my dear friend Holly's house with like four bottles of champagne that were probably on sale at Walgreens or whatever. There was a bottle that was particularly on sale and it was called, and I'd never had it before. It's called Cold Duck.
Oh no.
I was like, what is this? Cold Duck.
Sparkling Merlot for any of the people out there that aren't aware.
It sounds exotic. So I got like.
Isn't that like the worst name for anything?
It is so confusing.
Like, even for food. Who wants to eat cold duck?
No, it's very confusing. I would be interested in the origin of that, of that name. So I brought over like 10,000 bottles of champagne and between the two of us, we drank all those bottles of champagne and we ate chicken nuggets. And I'm sure because like I'm generally a good drunk, you know, like I'm good. I'm not angry. Mm-hmm. I'm not like super crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm not a mean drunk. You know,
I'm an incredibly flirtatious drunk.
Oh, yeah. No, I, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And flirtatious is a nice way to put it.
Certainly. We'll leave it there. Yeah, I'm not a mean drunk. No. I'll put it that way. But that night, after two bottles of champagne, mm-hmm. I know that I went from like a really happy-go-lucky place to just a weeping place. There was a lot of weeping that happened. Like, I was like, I'm going to tell you all my deep, dark secrets now. Like I drank a lot of champagne. I like unloaded a bunch of baggage on Holly. She was like,
she's like, I thought we were just going to have like a cool night.
Right. She was like, I made these chicken fingers. I thought we were just going to chill. I just wanted to turn up real hard into my emotions. That's what we did. Then I woke up the next morning and I had to go to work at the salon that I was working at.
And champagne is a hard hangover if you have too much of it.
Oh, it was really bad. And you know it was bad because I was like 22 or 23 at the time. And at that time, you like bounce back from hangovers. Right. But I was not bouncing. I was not bouncing that day. It was rough. So yeah, that is my champagne memory.
Okay.
Like, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
I have a cold duck memory.
You do?
It's actually kind of a nice memory. So I got my start. This is the only time I've ever had it. I got my start writing for Red Eye as their 50 Fest correspondent. Mm-hmm. So I went to 50 Chicago festivals and like ate and drank through them and did like these tweet ups and tweeted for them and did videos and stuff.
That sounds so fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was kind of intense some weekends because you had to do a bunch at the same time.
Sure.
But it was really fun. And at the end of it, my friends were kind of being lame and I was like, I want to like toast and like have fun. This is a big deal. And they're like, we're tired. We don't have any money, whatever. And I texted this guy I was seeing and I was like, no one loves me. And he's like, oh, you know, I'll bring you some champagne, whatever. And he was broke too. And he came with this cold duck.
He's like, you babe, got you the good shit.
I still think it was, I very much appreciated. It was a very sweet gesture, but it was like,
oh, honey,
what is this stuff? Tastes like sparkling Robitussin.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, it sure does.
But yeah, I love that memory though. I feel like so many great situations happen around champagne.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just that thing that brings people together. Yeah.
It's like fun and celebratory. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And that's why that brings us to, why are we here today? What you may know Emily from her, from Celine Neon, you probably know Emily from Celine Neon, but what you might not know is Emily's actually a very talented baker. And not just in the delicious cakes that she makes, but also in the way she decorates them, which I feel are very Celine Neon-esque.
They are, very much so. Yeah.
How long have you been interested in that?
So this baking obsession, well, this baking obsession specifically pertaining to layer cakes, mm-hmm. is a new thing for me.
Okay.
I got a KitchenAid mixer for Christmas.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah. You know, I have been wanting a KitchenAid mixer so bad for so long.
Me too. I used to be like, Mom, why don't you have a KitchenAid mixer? Oh. She just had like a handheld thing.
Oh, like a little. Yeah. That's child's play. No, I once considered marrying a guy to get, because his mom told me, you know, Emily, every woman that marries into our family gets a KitchenAid mixer at the wedding. I was like, you don't say. Which, by the way, is like a really weird gendery gift.
Will that fit on my finger?
Yeah. Right. But I was like, I like considered it and I was like, no, girl, you got to go.
It
like
prioritize.
Yeah. Like, I know you want that mixer, but you got to wait a little bit. Like, this is, he's not right for you, girl. You got to go. So I got this mixer and like, I had always baked pies. Like, pies.
I love pies. Yeah.
Right. I'd never really, like, cakes were kind of whatever.
Yeah.
I was really into pies. Like, a good banana cream pie is like.
I'm all about strawberry. No, actually, not strawberry. Rhubarb pie. Rhubarb meringue pie.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Meringue. Yeah. Meringue in general.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
On anything.
It's just, like, such a heavenly texture.
So, yeah, I got this KitchenAid mixer and my friend Holly, actually, that same girl with I drank all that cold duck with, was celebrating her 30th birthday this year. And I was like, hey, can I like do your birthday for you? You know, she was like having people over to the house and I was like, do you mind if I just come in there and I like decorate everything and I like make this cake, which like sounds like so fun to me, but like also can be like kind of overbearing. Like,
right.
In some ways I was like, do you mind if I just come out and like swoop in and take over? She was like, for sure. Go ahead. And so I like made this like giant, like 6-7 layer ombre cake.
Oh my God. I made a rainbow cake once.
They're so fun.
Yeah. So fun.
They're so fun.
And people flip out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I ordered this candle from China that like you like set it on fire and it like opens up into a flower and it spins around in a circle and it plays happy birthday. It shoots sparkles everywhere. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
So I was like, just like did this birthday thing. And after I did that, I was like, it was like a light bulb went off for me. I was like, this is my shit right here. Like, so after that, I like kind of like anytime a good friend would have a birthday, I would contact them and be like, can I make your birthday cake? Yeah. And that sort of just started to pick up steam a little bit. And I didn't really, it wasn't until probably about 2, maybe 3 months ago that I had the idea to like actually kind of like go pro with it.
Yeah.
And like make it into an actual.
And you
like,
just launched, right?
I just launched it. And I had the idea and I was like, I'm going to just marinate on this for a little while because I am a person of a million ideas, you know, like I have so many great ideas and very poor follow through.
Yeah.
Like I'm very poor.
I am the ideas person. Uh-huh. I am not the details person.
No. So I was like, I'm going to marinate on this for just a minute. Just like a slow my roll just a little bit. Make sure that I still like this idea in a day, in a week, in a month. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, no, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And it's bon vivant.
Bon vivant cakes.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, cake baking, I come by it really honestly. My mom is a baker.
Like professional?
My mom owns, she is about to open up her third restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah. She, she's a huge, huge inspiration to me. She was a homemaker for, you know, through my childhood and my younger brother and sister as well. And 10 years ago, she decided after my father had been laid off in the recession, that she mm-hmm. needed to provide for her family. And mm-hmm. so she decided to open a restaurant, which is the craziest thing. Right. Like, anyone who knows anything about restaurants,
that's
and like,
not, they like 95% fail or something.
They are never profitable. Like almost never. Like, and she, like, 5-6 years, I think 6 years later, it is, I mean, it's still going. It is.
What's it called?
It's called Cafe Arazu. Okay. It's named after me.
Okay. I love that. That's so cute.
I chose the name. I was like, Mom, have you considered naming it after me? She was like, I guess, whatever. But my middle name means wish or desire. So,
oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. So, and it's a like a Mediterranean restaurant that kind of like fuses all these different cultures together. So it's got like a very nice sort of hippy dippy.
Nice.
Good vibes kind of thing.
I love it.
So she is a baker, and she bakes incredible desserts that she sells at Cafe Arazu. And yeah, I think anyone who knows my mom is not at all surprised to see this cake thing kind of coming out of me as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My mom made, she didn't really do layer cakes, but for our birthdays every year, we'd be like, she'd be like, what do you want? And I'd be like, an astronaut. And she would make an astronaut cake. Or I remember one year, my sister wanted a ballerina and she like made the, she like cut it into a ballerina and then she like decorated the like tutus and had like these little silver balls on it. That was my favorite cake.
Wait, did she do it with fondant? Did she?
No, she would, no, she would like, she'd make like a sheet cake or two sheet cakes. So it was always flat. She'd cut it into the shape and then she would use like a Betty Crocker whipped frosting or whatever. And then just was so visually talented that she could like make it still like have the appearance of whatever.
That is so impressive.
And it was like a really fun memory as a kid to be like, I want a dinosaur cake. I want a whatever. And she wouldn't just like have dinosaurs on top of it. She would like, it would be a dinosaur.
That
you know?
Is so impressive to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I haven't actually thought about that in a while, but that was like, that was a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of people, I mean, fondant cakes are really pop. Like if you asked for a tutu, a ballerina cake or an astronaut cake, you would get
the
something covered in fondant.
I hadn't had fondant cake until I was in, when I went to college in Britain, and that's huge there. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't really made it, at least into the culture I was in here, it hadn't made it over here yet. And I loved it because it's so finished looking. And most people don't eat the fondant, though. I loved the fondant.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked the fondant.
Oh.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't like it as much with my more mature palate.
Okay.
But then I was like, this is delicious.
Right. It's like I used to like eating at the Olive Garden.
Right.
But then I grew up and I was like, these breadsticks taste like yoga mats.
Still one of my best dates was at Olive Garden.
I mean, the great thing about Olive Garden is that you get a martini that's like a gallon and it's like, ma'am, that'll be $3.56. You're like, great. You're like,
I am fancy
today. Oh, yeah. Bucket O martini. Yeah. That's what's great about
that. So, yeah, most people don't eat the fondant, which I think is such a strange thing to be involved in your cake, right?
Yeah.
Do you use fondant?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I like that.
I don't, and here's why I don't use fondant. Like it's partially because I don't like fondant. I don't like the way it tastes.
Most people don't.
It tastes, it's like, it's sugar clay, you know? And
sugar clay.
Yeah, so yummy. But also like the kind, you have to have a real, I think, an artist's eye to make fondant. And also to do the kind of cakes you were describing that your mom made. Like you have to be an artist. Like you have to be the kind of person who can see something in their mind and then make that happen in like the plastic world, right? And I am not that kind of like when I decorate cakes, it is like
chaos.
Abstract art. Yeah, it's like
chaos. You need to patent that.
I do.
I really like
I
that.
Do.
Yeah,
it is. It's just like, you know, there's no real, it's more style based than it is skill.
Well, yeah,
for
like
me,
I mean,
right?
This is going to sound so cheesy, but when I see one of your bon vivant cakes, I'm like, I just see a feeling in it.
Right.
Like that's what I see.
Right.
And I think that is really fantastic and kind of different when you look at what the cake field looks like or like a cupcake Masters or whatever, mm-hmm. Cupcake Wars, like when you see that, it's just very, it's a different feeling. Like when I look at that, I'm like, no, I have like an emotion that's evoked because of that, which I think is, which actually kind of makes it more true art if we want to get super deep. But, and actually I have to stop here now because we need to take a break.
Okay.
So we'll come right back. Okay. So a nice hard stop in the middle of a conversation. See you in a second. Hello, this is Anna Fernat, your host of Champagne and Snark. First of all, I would like to say thank you so much to the thousands of listeners we've had so far in this show. If you're new to Champagne and Snark and you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher or via your favorite RSS feeder at accidentally-sexy.com. We deliver this podcast every Thursday, hot and fresh, and I don't want you to miss a thing. So see you next week. Hello and welcome back to Champagne and Snark. This is Anna Fernat, your host. I'm in the champagne room with Emily. I'm gonna fuck up your name again. Help me.
Arazu.
Arazu. Uh-huh. Emily Arazu. And from Celine Neon, which we've been talking about, is this really incredible band from Chicago, based in Chicago. But what you might not know about Emily is that she's an incredible baker and cake decorator. And now she has this whole business, Bon Vivant. And we were just getting into the emotional projection your cakes have. They don't depict a specific figurative thing. They have more of an, I don't know, is it objective?
Yeah.
Subjective?
Yeah. Part of that, I think, is that I am I'm a self-taught and completely untrained baker. Mm-hmm. So like, everything that I know, I either learned from my mom, mm-hmm. or I learned from the internet.
The internet is a magical place.
The internet's amazing, turns out. So, yeah. And I mean, my mom did pass a lot of her like homespun sort of mm-hmm. cake recipe and like, you know, baking wisdom down to me. But yeah, a lot of it is just me just getting the ingredients together and seeing what comes out.
Do you have, what are the sort of flavors you currently have in your collection?
So right now I've finally like perfected my chocolate cake, my dark chocolate cake, mm-hmm. my almond sponge, my vanilla sponge, yummy. My vanilla cake, my yellow cake. I'm working on red velvet this week. Mm-hmm. I found the most amazing whipped cream cheese frosting.
Mm. That so I it's did. Airy oh as God. Well. Because that's the thing with cream cheese. It's usually a little on the
too
thick
dense.
Side.
Yeah. No. Mm. You get some like heavy cream and okay. whip that up. It's not even right. I mean, it is not even right. My roommates are the luckiest people on the planet because they get to try everything. They get to try all of the misses and all uh-huh. the wins as well. Like they get all the cake remnants and all that. So they're kind of my like test audience.
Love it.
They liked the whipped cream cheese.
Nice.
Yeah, I generally work with Swiss buttercream mm-hmm. frosting.
I prefer buttercream.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like Swiss buttercream because
what's Swiss buttercream?
So it is different than a lot of people are familiar with American buttercream frosting, and it's really sweet. Mm-hmm. It's the type of frosting that like Sprinkles Bakery mm-hmm. will use, an American buttercream recipe that it's great, but it's really sweet and it generally requires refrigeration, mm-hmm. Because there's milk in it. A Swiss buttercream does not need to be refrigerated.
Okay.
So it's great for wedding cakes. And in general, like, if you're going to throw a party, you want the cake to like be the centerpiece right. of the table. And so you want that to be able to like sit out throughout the entire party, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours, mm-hmm. And not like
slide,
yeah. not wilt, not bead, mm-hmm. Sweat, you
Ew,
know,
that sounds
it's not
horrifying.
Good, but that's what'll happen. That's mm-hmm. what'll happen. You know, if you have a cake that needs to be refrigerated, that sits out. So the Swiss buttercream will like stand up. You can leave it out on your counter for up to 4 days.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What is it even? So what's in it?
Egg whites and butter.
You can leave egg whites and butter just out? It doesn't kill you?
Nope. Does not kill you. Yeah. I mean, like it's been like the egg whites have been like heated and like they've been like tempered or whatever. So like, yeah, it won't kill you.
Okay.
But it is delicious.
That's not, yeah.
It's not overly sweet and it's really, it's
interesting
to work with.
Is it still really fluffy?
Still very fluffy.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really, it's amazingly versatile. You can like do, I made a salted caramel Swiss buttercream. I'm working on a peanut butter buttercream right now because I have an amazing cake actually for Jaime Black's birthday next week.
Nice. I'm doing like chocolate and peanut butter?
I'm doing chocolate and peanut butter with a banana curd layer in the
very
middle.
Very Elvis.
So good. I love he was that. Like, what do you think about banana? Do you think that'd be weird? I was like, no.
No, that sounds
I think that'll
amazing.
Be incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll give like the color differentiation, mm-hmm. which is really important in a layer cake. Mm-hmm. I used to do social media for this cake brand.
Okay.
And we're not cake brand, baking brand.
Okay.
And our big thing was like cakes and layer cakes specifically. And so even though I bake off and on, I used to bake a lot when I was younger, but I'm very good at judging images of cakes and know what's going to be like a successful look. And one of the things that's really helpful is like clear color differentiation.
Yes.
And that's what, yeah, it helps with layer cake a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I haven't, a lot of my cakes, I photograph them and then they're out the door and I don't get to see what they look like when they're cut.
Right.
But yeah, that like, especially if you're doing like an ombre cake or like a rainbow cake.
But have you ever tried, or have you heard of or tried a reveal cake?
Like a gender reveal cake?
No.
Okay. I was just talking about gender reveal cakes earlier.
We can talk about that in a second because I have an opinion on those.
Okay.
So it's kind of the ideal of the ombre cake, but it's a little more advanced. So it's like basically you cut it and then there's a picture inside. So like you can do them with like American flags. You can get more advanced and there's like, I've seen ones that are globes. Like it's really intense, but it's cool. Something you may want to look into.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Yeah. The American flag one is pretty easy because it's just like you do like a red, white, and then like you just have a banner of blue around the outside basically. And then whatever. Mm-hmm. The other ones are a little more complex and I don't understand how to do them.
Sure.
They're really cool.
Yeah. Mm. I'm going to have to look into those for sure.
Yeah, it's very, but gender reveal cake, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, so one of my favorite shows, Jane the Virgin, is back on TV. They had their premiere last night for season 2. Do you watch Jane the Virgin?
I don't.
Mm-mm. Oh my God, you need to.
So explain the plot to me. I kind of know that she like got pregnant, but she was a virgin.
Yeah, so it is basically, it's basically a very self-aware, highly stylized telenovela.
Okay. I'm into that.
It is so smart. Like it's so smartly written. All the actors are really great on it. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of it. Anyway, so they had their season premiere last night and they had like a gender reveal cupcake was mentioned on the show. And like me, I don't have too many friends having babies or getting married or I don't know. All my friends are.
Mine either.
Yeah, I don't
Isn't
know.
Isn't that weird? We're in our 30s.
Like, I'm okay with that though. Yeah. Like honestly.
I know, but it's like. And there's part of me that's like, why?
Yeah. What's wrong with us? No one wants us. But so like the concept of a gender reveal cake is like totally foreign to me. But like obviously it's a thing. Like
It's a big thing.
It's a thing that people do. But I am like so.
I don't know how I feel about it. I kind of think it's a little weird and self-absorbed. Because it's like you have your baby shower thing and then you have another party where you're like come around find out
it's a separate thing
usually it is I think and then like I know but I believe and they come around they're like come around do you want to know the sex of our baby like nobody cares that much like
you are really overestimating.
It's really weird like I will be really excited to find out like what's coming out of me but like I don't really think anybody else, like, unless I'm boozing them up or give them a really good reason to be there.
Right. Or like a really awesome cake.
But yeah, it's a big thing. People are very into the reveal cake. And there's also this other trend that is like, it's a pregnant belly cake. But then you like slice into this belly
that
to
is
eat.
Really
it's
morbid.
It's weird.
That's morbid.
It is so like, who? Delicious pregnant belly cake. Like...
I do not like that.
That one's another really big
thing. I'm sure it's covered in fondant too.
Oh yeah, so for sure like in fondant.
Garbage.
Yeah.
You've got like a garbage belly. And that does not, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
Gender reveal, like, I don't know. In my mind, like, it's like your family members and like your best friend, but like, I don't know.
Even then, like, do I really care?
Who can say? But Listen, any excuse to get together, eat cake, and drink champagne.
Right. I mean, well, like, but I'm pregnant. I can't have the champagne. Oh, I'm just going to sit there being bitter.
Just eat all the cake, though. That's like, what I'm enjoy saying. Enjoy your cake. That's what I'm saying. Just eat. Eat the cake.
Yeah. Well, they, yeah, they do with either like, high from it. Sometimes they'll do cupcakes. Sometimes they'll do a full cake. I've even heard of like other options. Like there was this woman, she was talking about that she took a softball and then cut it in half and put like the color powder inside and then painted the ball black and like taped it all together. So they like, so the mom and dad didn't know what the reveal was. That I kind of like, because the mom and dad didn't know what the baby was. And okay. So the grandma revealed the baby sex to the mom and dad, which I kind of can appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a huge thing.
I, you know,
and you definitely don't do that for more than baby number one. Can you imagine doing that for baby number three? Oh, come round again.
Really titty tedious. Yeah.
Do you, I know you haven't come to either Billy or Sarah's first or second birthday, but come round and find out about Steven. Oh, oops, I've revealed it. Like, just,
yeah, no. Yeah, no, you got to give up after a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, like any opportunity.
It's a huge market. It's a huge market. And I mean, like, just because my salty, salty soul does not like this, or doesn't, like, get it, because I'm so far away from wanting to have children.
I'm pretty far away from that as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, if someone was like, will you make this, like, colossal gender reveal cake for me,
you could do some cool stuff with
that. It sounds really fun. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, I think you could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. And also, like,
I would have a Bon Vivant reveal cake. Fine.
Yeah. You know, I'm making one for a baby shower coming up.
Oh, you're
I'm
doing stoked. A reveal cake. Oh,
well, not, it's not like a reveal cake. Oh. They already know the sex, but I'm doing just like a baby shower cake, which I'm very excited about.
Are you doing a pregnant belly? Did I just spoil that?
Surprise. They don't know it yet, but they're getting a pregnant belly cake. Just like it's on me, guys.
Oh God. It's so gross.
Champagne and cakes go so well together because they're both such a symbol of celebration.
Absolutely. I actually had I had Manny Rodriguez from Juggernaut on.
Okay.
And he is a big cupcake guy. And so we had cupcakes and champagne. And it was wonderful. I was like, this is just such a nice pairing.
They pair together so well. They absolutely do.
It just feels special. And I'm about anything that makes the commonplace feel special.
See, that's what I'm saying. And that was kind of the impetus for starting Bon Vivant is that I saw when I would carry a cake into a party.
Oh, yeah. All eyes.
Everyone just lost their minds.
Yeah.
And they were so excited. They wanted to see it. They wanted to take photos of it. And like, honestly, like, just like the pure like glee and joy in an adult, like in a salty adult human's face. Like life is hard, right? Like life is hard. But like just for like a moment, you have this like childlike sort of glee.
Yeah, it's very special. And I think it evokes a lot of emotions and it evokes your childhood and all of that. And I actually, when I was in high school, I went into like a baking frenzy. Uh-huh. I even broke my mom's mixer. It burnt out because I was baking so much. But I like baking even more than I like cooking, because it's the finale. You know, it's this thing that people get so excited and happy about. Figaro, come on. She doesn't, I know she's very pretty. You don't need to sit on her lap. Stop. I tell this story a lot, actually. He wants you to hold it for him.
You hold the bone?
Yeah, you don't have to, but that's what he wants.
This is weird.
Welcome to my everyday.
He's just staring at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tell this story all the time on the show. I had Matthew Santos in, and Figaro has this toy that he uses when he goes to sleep. It's like, it looks like a dog just about his size. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like, he kind of like humps it and then like sucks on its hip and goes to sleep. That's what he does. And so he brought the toy in here and then like went over and kind of like was roof at Matthew and then like went back to the toy just to get his attention, went back to the toy and just like and then like would look at Matthew and be like, and it was just like, it was
just like, Kara, stop embarrassing me right now.
Yeah, it was the most, it was, that was the one, I mean, like, he's done some weird stuff, but that was the most he's been like, you, me, brother, like right here, right now, that's it.
You're like, stop embarrassing me. Matthew Santos is so cute. Stop.
He was such an amazing guest. Back to cakes. Oh, wait, now that my, like, at? Yeah, I've been dazed and dazed by handsomeness. So back to cakes. But so do you ever do cupcakes or are you all layer cake?
I've done, I do cupcakes. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Do you kind of want to stick to the layer cake?
Yeah, I don't like cupcakes.
I like the idea of sticking to a layer cake because I feel like cupcakes are
so over.
Yeah.
I personally, when I see a cupcake, I want to smash it. That's just me. I hate cupcakes.
A lot of drama.
I hate cupcakes. They're so like twee. And they were such like such a thing.
They were,
and like once you put a cupcake in a vending machine, I'm like, oh, we're done. Like it's like done. Like we're done. Well, like let cupcakes die.
I think cupcakes really came to be because they were these individualized special experiences.
Sure.
You know, they always had these like fantastic flavors and it was very like special. What I like about moving towards the layer cake idea and what I kind of do with Champagne and Snark and what I like about, I do these monthly dinners now, is that we're coming to a place where we've been so isolated. We've isolated ourselves through social media, through whatever, and we want that experience of coming together over a big cake. We want to be sharing it with somebody. We don't want to have the experience by ourselves. And it's all about, you know, treasuring these together moments.
Yes.
Which I think something like a layer cake and something especially like your type sort of layer cakes that, like I said, evoke these emotions in you brings.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. And it's really nice to know, you know, when I get orders from people, like I'll ask them to just like provide a little bit of information about like, you know, where is this going? Like, who is this for? And like, it's so nice, like having a peek into people's lives and like, oh, this cake is going to go for like a girls' weekend. Like we haven't seen each other since college. We're all getting back together.
Yeah.
And like, oh, this cake is going to go, you know, to a going away party. You know, she's going to move away to Montana. And like, it's just nice knowing that like all these cakes are going to be like shared among friends in this like very sort of like communal together moment.
Have you read Like Water for Chocolate?
Was it turned into a movie? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw the movie.
And it's like, it's all about, it's this magical realism. The style is magical realism, but I think there's this hint of truth. So there's this woman and basically she's in the kitchen cooking all the time. Mm-hmm. And the emotions that she's feeling go into the food that she's cooking and then it affects the people that she's whatever.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I have a belief in the idea that the person, like, you can put your love into a cake and you can put your love into a meal and that really like affects the situation of it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Especially when it's like, you know, a bon vivant cake because like you said, like the way it's decorated is so emotional. It's weird. It's a weird thing to say, but it is like,
it evokes something you don't, it's almost like in comparison to, I'm thinking of like, what's the art form? Like, not expressionism, fauvism maybe? It's all about the, I was an art history major. It's okay, all about, I think this is fauvism. In fauvism, they ignored the rules of colors. And the colors that they used were reflective of the emotion of the being. So instead of like, so for example, a person would maybe be green, but then their shadow would be blue. And it would kind of be in the meaning of trying to, you know, bring a certain feeling around. Mm-hmm. It's fauvism. I think that's the same sort of thing. It's like, it's not meant to look like anything. It's meant to look like a cake.
Yeah.
But the way that it is, you know, put together reflects something inside of you.
Yes.
And like, even what you were just talking about, like you were describing why you like doing it. You want it to go to this girl's weekend. You want it to be for this baby shower. You want it to be for this, like the person behind it has an emotion reflected in it. And I really like that.
Yeah.
I think that makes it a lot more interesting, honestly.
You know, I hate the word foodie, but I'm a food person.
Lover.
Like I'm a food lover. Like,
yeah,
I love food.
Me too.
And I don't really go, I work in a restaurant, so I don't go out very often because I am out enough, you know, in my restaurant, but I cook a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, And I host a lot of dinner parties, mm-hmm. you know, like for my birthday almost every year. I yeah. like invite, you know, like 10, 15 people over and I like cook a giant meal. Yeah. And I don't know. That is one of the ways that I, you know, like I express love to the people mm-hmm. that are in my life. And like, you know, these cakes are just like another expression of that.
I love that. Yeah. And with that, we're actually going to take our next break.
Okay.
Hello, this is Anna Fernat, and thank you for listening to Champagne and Snark. If you are listening via iTunes, I would love to ask a favor. If you could go and rate or review us in iTunes, that would really help us. It helps other people discover the show, and really it helps the show move up the ranks, which will be beneficial to everybody because then we'll have more champagne fun times. So if you like it, once again, thank you, first of all, for liking it, and second, go and rate and review us at iTunes. Now, back to the show. Hello, this is Anna Fernat, and welcome back to Champagne and Snark. In the champagne room today, I have Emily, god damn it, Arazu?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yes! Uh-huh. Nailed it.
To me. Uh-huh. we've been talking about cake decorating, and actually we were just talking about, I'm going to take a sip first. We're just talking about how food is an emotive experience, and that's actually something I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, like the way we come together in communion over food or over champagne mm-hmm. is such a important part of the human experience. And so when I eat with somebody, I consider it a very intimate act, you know, and it's like, it's this, especially if I cook for you, it's like, I'm like, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing that, like, not like a, you know, you have to marry me deal, but this is like, was this like I'm sharing with you something that's very special?
Absolutely. You know? Like it's a very intimate act.
Yeah, it's a very intimate act. And like, and I think, you know, when you eat and you like put your phone away and all of that, you just focus on the idea of like the conversation that happens around food and the closeness that happens around food. Like I come from a family where we eat together every night. Every single night. My mom yeah. cooked every night.
Mine too.
And it was like, and that I think really developed me in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. Me too. Absolutely. We had, yeah, we had family dinner together, I think almost every single mm-hmm. night. And then we would have on Saturday and Sunday, we would have like a big breakfast together mm-hmm.
yep.
every morning. Yeah. And I come from a mixed cultured household. My mom is white mm-hmm. and American. And my dad is Iranian. Mm-hmm. And he like came to the U.S. when he was, you know, in his 20s and mm-hmm. has been here ever since. And it was a really, those family dinners and those big breakfasts were, they were like a time of family bonding, but they were mm-hmm. all also an opportunity to sort of blend the two cultures that were sitting at the table.
Yeah.
And my mom learned to cook a ton of Persian food mm-hmm. and has now subsequently opened up a restaurant using yeah. food from my father's culture that mm-hmm. she has like taken and like through so many years has like made it her own, you know? Yeah. And like, it was a really special, special experience because honestly, there are so many differences between mm-hmm. the cultures, East meets West. It's a yeah. really, it's a...
Especially in the terms of cuisine.
Yeah.
I mean, not especially, but it definitely but in the terms of cuisine,
there are so many different like Middle Eastern flavors that we mm-hmm. just don't have mm-hmm. in U.S. in American cooking, and just also like just the cultures in general. Like they sit at such polar opposites that like to find that sort of those moments of unity in food, which mm-hmm. it was really special, you know, and it really like helps sort of like grow a bond between people. So
yeah.
People getting together and sharing food around a table is something that is like very, very romantic to mm-hmm. me and like very important to me. And like I have like seen what that does for people's relationships like in yeah. my life.
Yeah. You know? I always think like when I get married, I want to have for my like either rehearsal or the engagement party, I want to have a potluck, which I think everyone's going to think is me being cheap, but it's like, I actually just like people bringing food together.
That sounds great.
Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Yeah.
And I'm like concerned. I'm like, well, I don't, whatever. They can think what they want. They can just not be invited if they're going to
yeah,
be jealous.
Whatever,
if they're
going
to be weird
you.
About
yeah.
it. Yeah. But I think like, I really do find that and that's a really great way to relate to somebody if you're not familiar with their culture yet. Like if
absolutely.
You want to tiptoe into a culture, where food is a really great,
absolutely,
like, you know, a place to come together at the table, if you will.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I really do appreciate the idea of togetherness over food or over champagne, or, and especially in today's, you know, day and age, it's like, it's, we are so isolated.
Absolutely.
And it's a good thing in a lot of ways, not the isolation, but the progression is a good thing in a lot of ways, but the isolation, I think we're starting to fight against, and by, and in doing so, we're trying to find ways to be together.
Yeah. And food and cake, champagne,
yeah,
is a great place to start.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's so many, if you can like bring people together and have those, like those moments and have those meals, like those memories, mm-hmm, will last. Like I have the memory of a goldfish. I remember nothing that happens to me. I'm afraid that at the end of my life, I'm going to be like dying. I'm going to be like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I have no idea. Like, I remember nothing that happens to me, but I remember food.
I remember, like, food.
I remember, yeah, meals. I remember, yeah, meals that happened to me. And I remember, like, you know, I remember moments in the kitchen. And
do you remember your moment when your palate woke up?
When my palate woke,
yeah,
up?
Yeah, like I've always been very into food, but one of the earliest foods that I remember just being, this is something. I was on a cruise. I was in first grade and they had pickled eggplant.
Okay.
And yeah, like, uh-huh, and I've always thought about this pickled eggplant. It just was this moment where you're like, where I've always liked food before that. I had an earlier memory where there was watermelon at my like fourth birthday and I was mad about it because I hate watermelon. And I wish there was more deviled eggs. And I remember being mad. I remember sitting at this little table.
I can relate to that.
I remember all of it. But like, you kind of like, I think there's this moment where you're just like, oh, and now I'm a foodie. You know, like, and I think it happens young.
Yeah, I grew up eating a lot of like weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of pickled things, mm-hmm, like,
well,
you know,
I'm German.
Okay.
And so there's like, you know, there's some relatable weirdness there. Uh-huh. And the other side is just hillbilly American.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's just like a hodgepodge of randomness.
I've always been an eater, mm-hmm, you know, so I've pretty much never met a food I didn't like, with the exception of, and it's everyone's favorite food, Thanksgiving stuffing. I cannot abide stuffing.
I have a couple things I hate that everybody loves and I get in trouble about it all the time. I hate watermelon. I hate bacon. I think bacon is a very boring food. And it's not done well very often.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah. I also, same thing for pizza. I think pizza is, well, this is what I think about pizza.
Okay.
I don't think pizza is done well very often. So usually if you go to a restaurant and the pizza on the menu is like margarita pizza, it's like, not getting this, going to get this other thing with interesting ingredients.
Right.
So I very rarely want a pizza.
Okay.
And same with sandwiches. Uh-huh. Like pizza and sandwiches, same boat as far as I'm concerned. It's usually just like, let's just put a bunch of stuff together. You're not going to taste any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Blech. Mm-hmm. It's for the picky eaters on the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The margarita pizza is definitely the throwaway,
right,
item. Just like, you won't eat anything. You'll eat this. Fine.
Yeah. It's it's very rarely done well.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's done well, it's fantastic.
Sure.
Or if I'm having like a, you know, I was even thinking today, I was like, I really want to have like have everybody over to my house and just order pizza. Like, it's just something I don't do.
No.
But it reminds me of like sixth grade or something.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I had not had like a Papa John's pizza since college.
I love Little Caesars.
Probably. My roommate gets Little Caesars. I had a slice of Papa John's pizza and it was so yuck. I was like, what in the hell is this? Like, people, yeah, this is so bad.
Don't you think Papa John is kind of a little bit of a DILF?
He is a little bit of a DILF. And he graduated from my college.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cheers. Cheers to you.
BSU. Cheers to you, Papa. Yeah. No, I don't do stuffing. That's the one thing I don't do.
I love stuffing. What is it about stuffing you don't like?
Sage.
Sage?
Most recipes include sage.
Yeah, sage is a very strong,
it's very overpowering
Thanksgiving flavor.
Not a huge fan of sage. Mm-hmm. Also, just the texture of
the
all of it.
Kind
I'm
of
just
weird.
Like, this is a big bucket,
yeah,
of mush.
The texture's kind of weird, and it kind of weirds me out sometimes that it was cooked in the bird.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
But I love stuffing. Yeah. I love all Thanksgiving. All of it.
See, and I like the sweets, but yeah, like last Thanksgiving, like I didn't go home for Thanksgiving. Mm. I was here.
I'm all about Friendsgiving.
I didn't even do Friendsgiving.
No.
My boyfriend came in town and we went and got Indian food. And he's He's Australian, so he has no, like, he doesn't care about Thanksgiving. He doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. Right. So I was like, let's go to Hema's Kitchen and eat Indian food.
When I went to school overseas, I made Thanksgiving every year that I was there.
That's nice.
Yeah. And so, like, I'd have my dad would fly over, like, stovetop stuffing and whatever. Aww. So I'd have, like, the real American ingredients.
Yeah.
And I would, one year I cooked for 25 people.
Wow.
Yeah. I cooked for 3 days. I made, like, but also I'm just like, I love the togetherness. I'm so into, like, I love being a host. I love all of that.
Me too.
So I made, like, three types of mashed potatoes and like five types of sweet potatoes.
So,
like,
did you do, was there a green bean casserole?
Always. But here's the thing. So the British palate is so different from ours.
Sure.
And they have a lot of weird stuff, but we just,
like, mushy peas. You know,
yeah, exactly. But, like, so they were really weirded out by, like, the green bean casserole they didn't super like. And they also weren't really, they definitely did not like the candied sweet potatoes, which is, like, that is my jam.
Okay. Do you put like the marshmallows and all that? See,
they were not into that.
That's fair though. I don't know about that either.
Oh, it's my favorite
part.
Did
you do creamed corn?
I didn't do creamed corn. That's not for us. That's not a traditional Thanksgiving food in my family. Okay. But I love creamed corn separate. Like, I really into
so
that.
Good. God damn it. It's so good.
What is your favorite food? What do you like? What's your go-to?
My favorite food. It's like trying to pick a favorite child. My favorite food, I like my death row meal would be kubide kebab.
What is that?
Is that
the kind of, like, put on a skewer?
Yep. Yeah. It's ground beef mixed with onions and a bunch of different spices on a skewer, grilled, served with basmati rice, grilled tomatoes, grilled onion, and then masahiyar, which is like a yogurt with mint. And,
oh, I love that.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
I love
cucumber.
That.
And that is the meal. That's an Iranian dish, but it's like a... It's like the fancy meal that you would serve to company. Like, and it's also like, you'll find, if you go to an Iranian restaurant, you'll find kubide on the menu because it's like the fancy.
I went to a Mediterranean all you can eat buffet because I'm a delicate lady.
Wait,
for lunch
Reyes's?
Today? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I went there
Their
for
lunch
today.
Buffet is good.
Oh my God. It's so good.
It's good.
And they
it's
had
legit.
Kubide and they had, but I was like, I'm trying to be delicate. So I didn't like eat all of what I wanted to, but I had, I love their rice. They have a good spicy vegetable rice. That's fucking to die for.
Oh, okay.
And they have like a really good chicken soup thing they have, which is super good. I think that might be to please people like me coming in, but it's like good. They put a lot of dill in it, which is interesting. And then they have the kubide and they have, but I usually get the spicy chicken,
shawarma.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, Persian food is very adaptable to white people taste.
Yeah. Like, I would say so.
Yeah. It's very adaptable. They do a lot of sour and savory together.
That is my favorite.
Really?
Yes. Because I like pickled stuff. I like yogurt on fucking everything. Like, I'm very, like, I grew up in, I don't know, an adventurous taste household.
Okay.
And so I was, like, exposed to a lot of different tastes and textures very early on. And so I kind of have an advanced palate.
Okay.
So things like that are actually what I gravitate towards.
Okay.
Like, also with Ethiopian food, a lot of savory and sour.
Most people don't like that.
Like, that's the only thing I order in is Ethiopian.
That's interesting. Yeah. Like, most people do not like that. Like, having like raisins and stuff.
Oh no! Bring that to me.
then you are like prime candidate for Persian food because they love doing tart and savory and kind of sweet and savory all together.
I went to was she a psychic? She was like, I don't know. She was like a aura reader. And one of the things she told me is that, like, in a past life, I had I was like a gypsy and I was like like leading my pack of people through Turkey, so maybe that's where I like
maybe
up.
you acquired your palate when you were just passing through in Turkey,
you know. That's what I was just, you know, out there reading palms.
It's possible
stealing from people.
Stealing, obviously.
I shouldn't say that, like, gypsies are real people now, like, this isn't just like
I guess
it's like a real continued culture. So I shouldn't be talking shit.
Apologies, gypsies.
I'm sorry. I was just like, you know, off of what I've seen in movies.
Right. Sure. Yep. Yeah, that is, you know, like, the tart and savory is not, it's not my favorite.
Really?
Like, I have.
So what did you do, like, as you were growing up?
I mean, I have an appreciation for it, but I like very earthy, like I like green. Like there's a lot of, like in Persian homes, they do a lot of stews.
Mm-hmm.
That's like typically like the at home cooking kind of stuff that you'll get. You'll get a lot of different stews, and they do a lot of herb stews where it's like, I make herb stews at home where it's just like a giant bunch of parsley and a giant bunch of dill. And
I also like things to be very herby. I want my taste buds to like have a thing. Like I don't, that's why I don't like the pizzas. Cause it's like,
it's just starches.
It's just nothing's happening there. I like the things that are, you can, there's something, there's an event happening, you know?
Now, I know a lot of like, one of the prerequisites to be a foodie is like, sure, I'll eat chicken feet
and
goat ears and stuff like that.
I would say that I'm a very adventurous eater, but there are certain things like I already know it doesn't taste good. Like if you ate chicken feet, you're like, chicken feet are delicious. I'd be like, okay, maybe I'll try it. But if you eat chicken feet, you're like, oh, it's all cartilage and weird. I'm like, why are you eating it?
It's not a competition.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. Yeah. Like I am not like trying to one up anyone on what kind of weird animal part.
It's like, could I eat this to impress you?
Sure. Yeah.
Do I want to impress you? Not so much.
Am I afraid of it? No.
No.
Will I enjoy it?
Exactly.
Probably not.
That's how I feel.
I'm not trying to prove nothing to nobody.
It's like the, what is it? The durian fruit, which is like, I think it's durian fruit. And it's this fruit that's supposed to taste like garbage. Like literally supposed to taste like garbage. And people just put it in drinks now and stuff. And it's like, why are you putting, like, congrats, you know what a durian fruit is. Like, if it had some sort of appeal, I'd be up for it. I don't have any sort of weird aversions. Like I would eat menudo if it was served to me.
Sure.
It's supposed to be very good.
Right.
If it was something like, like a chicken foot, like that is supposed to be not good.
Right.
So I don't get it.
I'm not going to
do that. I don't have a feeling for it.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way.
And with that, we actually are coming to the end of our hour. It always happens so quickly. I guess first we want to see if you have any plugs. Like, where are you on Instagram? Where can you find Celine Neon Music?
I am on Instagram as, for cakes, I'm at Bon Vivant Cakes.
BonVivant.
Yes. Celine Neon is Celine _ Neon. If you happen to be the 14-year-old French teenager who owns the Celine Neon handle, they are not active.
Oh, that's the worst.
They have not posted anything. I think the last image that she posted was a leaf. And that was 120 some weeks ago.
How very French.
Yes, so French. If you are that French teen, please... please give it up. Like, give us our Instagram handle.
That's frustrating.
You can find Celine Neon on Twitter at Celine Neon. Celine Neon and Bon Vivant Cakes are both on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you
do
can
have
find
SoundCloud or anything.
You can find Celine Neon literally anywhere that
Google
you
it.
Ever find music. We're on iTunes.
Get on your computer. Stop being lazy.
Spotify. Don't be lazy. We're there. You can find us. SoundCloud. You can listen to us for free or you can pay for it.
Do you have any shows coming up?
We have our second EP release.
Yeah.
Which is so exciting. It's coming up on November 12th. It's a Thursday night and it's at Shuba's. We're playing with the Rapper Chicks, who we absolutely love.
That's awesome.
And Idol. Idol is a Chicago duo. It's two chicks. They make like vibin' electronic music. Okay. It's like really sexy. It's great. That's on November 12th. And then the very next day, Friday the 13th, we release our second EP, which is going to be so... And I mean, I'm a little biased, but it's so good.
That's awesome.
I'm really excited about
it. Super exciting. Mm-hmm. I love Friday the 13th anything.
Me too.
That's bomb.
Me too.
I love that. Okay. And so we end the show with a toast to friendship. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
And I'm Anna Fernat. You can follow me at AnnaFernatt on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram as Accidentally Sexy. I'm on Snapchat now as Champagne Snark. I just send you lots of pictures of my boobs. Just kidding, I don't. Oh, wait, I should have waited until they followed me first. And like I say at the end of every show, it's I think that everybody should carry a... I'm fucking up my own tagline. I believe that everybody should have a bottle of champagne in the refrigerator because you never know when the next good time will be. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye. This episode of Champagne and Snark is brought to you in part by Strangeways, a Chicago-based content and production house working in digital media projects, filmmaking, publishing, and broadcast media. For more info about this and other projects, visit strangeways.com. That's Strange, W-A-Z-E.com, and find Strangeways on Twitter and Facebook.